Blog Talk Radio.
Party and the Spirit of America, a party book. Tonight, all the news has been pushed off the networks because Robin Williams killed himself, which is really sad, but it seems to be a trend in Hollywood. Luckily for Robin Williams, he got to survive 53 years. Many Hollywood stars and starlets don't get to be that old. But maybe it's a trend in the nation. Maybe we got a problem. Maybe mental illness is a bigger threat than the Ebola virus. It is really sad. And what's really sad is a guy like Jonathan Winters, who was a pal of Robin Williams, and they used to joke around a lot together on and off the set. Jonathan Winters got to live at least 20 years more. Maybe drugs might have had something to do with it. I do believe that when you mess with drugs, you're playing with your brain. And it could come back to haunt you. It may not haunt you right away, but it may come back to haunt you. Okay, so I got mail. Let's see what we got. Let's see what's in the big headlines. A little propaganda. Oh, there was a debate on Dinesh D'Souza and Bill Ayers at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire. And the end result was that Dinesh D'Souza got a bigger hand than Bill Ayers, who, according to witnesses, all he did was play the old communist cards. And the ones that stood up, the students, who also played the party line. You have to realize that today you're not living in a free country. You're living in a country that's at war and has been at war for 13 years. The only sad part about that war is only 1% of the nation knows we're fighting it, and that's the 1% that's fighting it. So here's a filmmaker has gone to make a film about the border fence. He says it's a joke. And he's playing jumping over the border and filming himself. So that'll be interesting. A letter from an Army major who received his pink slip. Would you like to hear that one? 500 Army majors and 500 captains have all been axed by the Obama administration. This fellow's an Army major, and he's one of the first to get whacked. So I'll give you a little story about him, and it's his writing. My name is Major Charles V. Slider III, and I am currently stationed at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. I am an Army officer, proud father and husband, and graduate of Lincoln University in Jefferson City, Missouri. I was selected for the recently convened Officer Separation Boards, so they got Officer Separation Boards, for the Department of the Army. And they caught up with him for a mistake he made over 8 years ago. The mistake was a DUI, driving under the influence, in which he received a General Officer Memorandum for Record in 2006. So now in 2014, they found an excuse to whack him. And this is part of the purges going on in the military, and it's not a monetary cut, it's a patriotic cut. Since this incident, I strived for excellence in every job that I performed. I trained soldiers for deployments to Iraq as part of the surge into theater from 2006 to 2008. From 2008 to 2011, I attended and completed Ranger School, Air Assault School, and earned the Expert Infantryman badge. I commanded troops in combat in Afghanistan, where I earned the Bronze Star Medal, Army Commendation Medal for Valor, and the Purple Heart for actions against a determined enemy in RC East. After the deployment, I was selected as the executive officer for the deputy commander for the Combined Arms Center of Training at Fort Leavenworth, serving in the capacity as the daily assistant for a general officer. The following year, I was selected among a field of majors to attend the Commanding General and Staff Officer College at Fort Leavenworth, as well as the School of Advanced Military Studies. Both prestigious institutes serve as the educational nexus for field grade officers. Upon graduating from SAMS in May 2014, I was notified that I would not receive an assignment due to being assessed as high risk, the GOMAR, in my restricted file. On August the 1st, I was notified of my removal from active duty service. Although I accept this fate, this is not justifiable due to the sacrifices that both my family and I have endured. As a resident ILE/SAMS graduate, my interpretation of this entire process is that it involved no critical thinking about the types of officers maintained in the current military structure. In certain cases, specific skills, attributes, and character traits are required in order to provide a balance of the warrior scholar. To this end, the board process chose individuals for elimination that met all of the requirements but possessed one black mark. Instead of using judgment and common sense in determining the number of officers required for service, an arbitrary number was provided. This created a system in which officers were selected based on a mistake rather than their overall contribution to the Army. One lapse in judgment does not constitute a pattern of misconduct, nor a judgment of overall character. These types of decisions, knee-jerk reactions within the Army, have the potential to erode trust within the lower ranks. I can tell you I was at a meeting of the elders for a barbecue and beer. And I asked former veterans, would you join to serve today? And they all said no. They didn't want to go to jail. As an officer, I believe that we should be judged on our body of work, not one isolated incident. Furthermore, this act to remove me from service serves as a blunt example of how stoic and regimented the board process is as a system. My biggest gripe is having a court-martial of a combat soldier, and sitting on the court-martial board are officers who never served in combat. They should be shot on the spot. As a Purple Heart recipient and proud member of the service, my family and I have given the Army our never-ending faith and commitment. However, the Army has seen it fit to remove my services as an officer from its ranks. Although the details of the board instructions will remain hidden, this also serves as ironclad proof that these awards are merely a method to provide credibility to a force that has integrity issues and morally barren for true sacrifices. This letter is an attempt to highlight the issues residing within an unfair system. It's a deliberately unfair system, my friend, and to provide context to others within the system. As a combat veteran of two theaters, Iraq and Afghanistan, I do not expect to be treated differently or to receive any sort of pat on the back. However, my actions after 2006 prove my family's enduring faith to an ever-evolving conflict and requirements to serve. I have served this great nation with distinction and honor and deserve a valid explanation of why its leaders choose to remove my services from the American people. I accomplished every mission presented to and went above and beyond what is expected of an Army officer. I hope that this letter finds you in good faith. Very respectfully, Major Charles V. Slider. And guess what color he is? He's black. He's black. And he's an enemy of the Communist Party, formerly the Democrat Party. And this purge, under the excuse of cutting back and saving money, is a lie. It's to destroy the military, which is one of the goals of the Communist Party. And another goal of the Communist Party is to seize one political party, which they have done, and they now control it. And if you're in the Democrat Party, my friend, whether you like it or not, you're a communist, and you are working towards the destruction and defeat of the United States, whether you realize it or not. So say a little prayer for the family of that gentleman, that Army Major Slider. And they didn't let him slide, did they? No, they found something. They got the goods on him. Now you wonder how come one of the greatest battlefield commanders in Afghanistan was relieved based on making fun of Obama and calling Joe Biden Joe Bite Me. Huh? And how the press took him down, the communist press took him down. And then you wonder why General Petraeus was relieved or forced to resign. Was he set up? Huh? In his golden years, did he get his head turned by a little flirty chick? Yes. Who happened to be a writer? And how about General Allen, the Marine Corps general, who had his picture taken with his shirt off, and he sent it to a lady of the evening who used to host all of the upper echelon cadre. Huh? Are they making our boys silly with sex? is it really relieving them or destroying them? Were they targets from the very beginning, before they had the affairs? You don't know. You don't even know who shot Kennedy. The most uninformed, no intelligence country in the world. We never saw Pearl Harbor coming. We never saw 9-1-1 coming. And when it came, we weren't ready. And we won't be ready for World War III, which we didn't see coming. But I'll tell you when it started. It was 1993, under the reign of President Pinocchio Pants, who was showing the American people how you can decorate a Christmas tree with condoms and dildos and snort cocaine and spray the oral office with semen rain. Yeah. And he can do that. He's, you know, he can lead the nation and do that. Yeah. And John Madison, sitting in the White House, said, was it Monroe, said, may this house always be occupied by good and deeply religious people. And look what we got today. Look what we got today. We got flag burners, cross stompers, baby killers, drug dealers for tax money. Flag burners. Unbelievable. Okay. So having said that, I'll cheer you up with a tune. Okay, we'll give you a French tune.
Choisir ma mort aussi. Il y a ceux qui veulent mourir un jour de pluie et d'autres en plein soleil. Il y a ceux qui veulent mourir seuls dans un lit, tranquille dans leur sommeil. Moi je veux mourir sur scène devant les projecteurs. Oui, je veux mourir sur scène, le cœur ouvert tout en couleur. Mourir sans la moindre peine au dernier rendez-vous. Moi je veux mourir sur scène en chantant jusqu'au bout. Viens, mais ne viens pas quand je serai seul. Tous les deux on se connaît déjà. On s'est vu de près, souviens-toi. Choisis plutôt un soir de gala si tu veux danser avec moi. Ma vie a brûlé sous trop de lumière. Je ne peux pas partir dans l'ombre. Moi je veux mourir fusillé de laser devant une salle comble. Moi je veux mourir sur scène devant. Le cœur ouvert tout en
j'ai toujours mes petites conversations, j'ai toujours mon petit jardin secret qui est en moi, et c'est très bien comme ça d'ailleurs.
Okay, we're back. And the next one we're going to smack you between the eyes with is a notice or a big blog from the American Family Association. And the headline of the blog is Navy Orders Bibles Removed from Base Hotels. Dear Tom, the U.S. Navy has instructed housekeepers to remove Gideon-placed Bibles from every hotel room on its military bases after it received a letter from the atheist group of Freedom from Religion Foundation. These guys are bigger than Al-Qaeda. We were told today, June the 23rd, 2014, that due to a new policy by the CEO of NEXCOM, Rear Admiral Robert Bianchi, a traitor to his heritage, we were to remove the Bibles from the rooms, a housekeeper told AFA in an email. They told us to put them in boxes where they would be taken to a donation center somewhere. Yeah, why don't you take them to Al-Qaeda? NEXCOM, Navy Exchange Command Service, what a disgrace, man. What a disgrace. Issued the directive, the Navy used to be God and country people, to bases offering hotel accommodations, ordering them to impound Bibles from 34 Naval Lodge and 24,000 Navy Gateway Inns and suite guests on Navy bases worldwide. Okay. Now, the first thing you got to ask yourself is who got to Rear Admiral Robert Bianchi? Who were involved, and reach out and find all the tentacles of that octopus? Because I guarantee you, it's all atheist egg, and atheists make the best communists, and communists make the best Democrats. The directive order lodge manages to contact the directive orders lodge manages to contact base commanders and chaplains to facilitate removing the Bibles and other religious material currently in the guest rooms. The Air Force tried unsuccessfully to remove Bibles from its lodgings in 2012, but after the public out, the Air Force reversed itself. I'm listening to Mark Levin. He's got people calling in saying, you should do this and you should do that. And he said to them, what are you doing? Guy says, well, you know, I'm calling you. He says, how come you're not out there doing something? Well, you know, I'll leave that up to the other guy. Take action. Contact Rear Admiral Robert J. Bianchi, urging him to reverse the decision to remove Gideon Bibles from base hotel rooms. Also contact Michael Brockelman, VP, NEXCOM, who actually approved the directive. Michael Brockelman. Yes, I'd like to know a lot about Michael Brockelman. We have provided easy to send email is and links to the Navy Lodge social media pages to make your voice heard. Well, I'm making my voice heard right now, and I will take action. And I'm going to do it right now while we're on the air. Okay, email CEO of NEXCOM. Send to Christine Sturkey at nextweb.org. Put the Bibles back. Okay, so I'm hitting the symbol for sending a letter. Let's see. Email. Let's see what happens. Okay, take action. The VP of NEXCOM, Michael Bockelman. Man, I'll tell you, the divide and conquer people have worked damn magic. We are in trouble. Okay, so I'm clicking on both of these, and I'm hoping that's what does it. Anyway, that's what I did. And I'll tell you a little Bible story. Every time I went into a hotel, I always looked in the top drawer at the end table to see if there was a Gideon Bible there. I hardly ever read it, but it gave me a comfort to know that there was a Gideon Bible in that drawer. And now when I go to hotels, I look for that Gideon Bible. And most of the time, I don't see it there anymore. And God bless the Gideons for the work that they did, because they didn't get paid for it. God bless them. And I often feel that when I hear a guy knocking a religion and making a public spectacle and mocking Christ, I always say he deserves to get cut down in a Gideon drive-by, where he gets 100 Bibles in the chest. My uncle was a bellman in the Hotel New Yorker many years ago. And at the time, $100 was big money. And I said to him one day, "What's the biggest tip you ever got, Uncle Jimmy?" And he said, "It's so funny that you should ask that. The biggest tip I ever got," and it really wasn't a tip, he had a guest in a hotel that he had taken care of, you know, carried his bags up, you know, took care of him while he was the guest in the hotel. And when the guest left, he had his Gideon Bible. There was a Gideon Bible that he was reading. And what do you think he used for a marker? $100 bill. How's that, huh? So it pays to stay close to the Lord. You can make a buck. No money changes, though. We don't go for that, like in the Congress and in the Senate. Those are money changes in the temple. They have to be whipped out. The media refused to report the truth about Hamas terrorists. We know that. The communist media lies. And NBC, I don't know what they're doing. They look like a 42nd Street outfit now. You know, I'm waiting for, while they're broadcasting, for guys to start doing the lenses on the TV cameras. You know, hey, you want the lens washed? They're looking horrible, man. They got Al, I think the president of NBC now is Al Sharpton, isn't he? Yeah, I think he's the guy that runs that show. It looks terrible, man. It really does. I hope they don't try and go into competition with Fox, you know, and go toe to toe with Fox's, those beautiful ladies on Fox. I hope NBC doesn't try to go toe to toe with them, because I don't want to see hookers on TV reading the news. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. You want to hear some news from the pro-life people? A couple defends wanting surrogate to abort a gammy because he had Down syndrome. Planned Parenthood ignored rape of teen girl, allowing rapists to rape others. Doctors said this incredibly premature baby would not survive, but no one told him that. Pregnant after rape, what this teen did might shock you. Man beats a one-year-old baby to death with a belt because he peed on him during a diaper change. Abortion activist compares pregnancy to rape to justify abortion. When I used to argue against abortion as a young guy, you know what card they used to play on me? They used to play the race card on me, these pro-choice people. Do you know how they did it? They would say, "How would you feel if your daughter was raped by a black man? Would you be a pro-choice then?" So these are evil people. These are evil people. Twin brothers become priests after their mothers rejects abortion. Wendy Davis attacks Craig Abbott on rape while taking money from group covering up a child rape. California may force Catholic universities to pay for abortions. I think the first state that's going to go when God issues his wrath of justice is going to be California. We're all going to wake up one morning, it's going to be gone. It's going to break off and it's going to go into the ocean. Security guard wears cross while guarding local abortion clinic. Oh, man. The soul of the pro-life movement, saving every baby possible from abortion. You know what's really sad? They're killing 4,700 kids a day. Think about that. 4,700 kids a day. 1,200,000 babies are torn apart, are chopped into little pieces, are vacuumed. You ever stood in a swimming pool and feel that suction that sometimes little kids get caught on? Imagine being a little baby and watching that doctor come in with his vacuum cleaner. Well, the baby can't see, but I bet you the baby's got a sense of fear, though something ain't right. Huh? Getting little messages from cell to cell. No human right to kill a baby with Down syndrome and abortion. That's a ruling from the European Court. Unbelievable. Okay, so I just want to give you a little pro-life info. And, you know how many legal immigrants come into the country every year? It's the same number of babies that are aborted, 1.2 million. Legal immigrants, not the 30 million that comes in next week. Act now. Tell Obama we will not be intimidated. We will not yield. Let me give you a tune. We'll find a tune, and then we'll read some more news. Why women should support Ben Carson over Hillary. That's a good question, man. That really is a good question. Okay, I got a dedicated tune. I went to dedicated, and I lost it. You know, I got one of those roving. Come on, man. Give me a break. I want to dedicate this tune to all the atheists that are running around trying to get rid of Christ.
Come, Holy Ghost.
Okay, we're back, and Barack Obama is rapidly preparing to violate the Constitution. The word from Fox tonight is he's up in the Blue Blood country. Where is he? Martha's Vineyard. Yeah, and he's up there with his boys, and they're planning how to destroy the Constitution when he comes back from his vacation. And when the communists come back from their 5-week sabbatical, can you believe those guys? They get all that vacation time. World War III is in its 13th year, and they're taking a break. Texas sheriff groups of armed illegal immigrants in his county. Sheriff Larry Spence of Willacy County, Texas, said farmers in his county have seen armed gangs of suspected illegal immigrants marching through their fields. Soldier sues Army over reprisals for his conservative views. Federal judge rejects challenge to North Carolina of voter law. Philadelphia mother headed to jury trial for carrying a gun in New Jersey. Pennsylvania resident Shanine Allen faces prison time for telling New Jersey police she had a concealed carry permit and a gun in her car. Oh, well, Christie will make an example out of her. He'll raise her real estate taxes. Jersey's out of money, right? They took all their real estate money. And they give them a little bit back at the end of the year. And this year they're getting very little. And next year he's going to raise the taxes again. This government is like a tax Pac-Man. The more you give it, the more it eats. Does the U.S. Chamber of Commerce equal a crony capitalism? Yes. Yes, it does. U.S. Chamber of Commerce should be with the Democrat Party, where all the rich guys are. Judge rules New Mexico a Ten Commandments monument unconstitutional. Would you like to hear the name of the judge? You know, this judge rules crap doesn't cut it with me. I want to know what the pimp's name is. Yes, Parker. James Parker. Senior District Court Judge for New Mexico ruled that a 5-foot-tall, 3,000-pound monument inscribed with the Ten Commandments placed on the front lawn of City Hall is unconstitutional. This is the separation of church, communist, the Cagada de Toro. Parker also expressed reservations about his decision, calling the case a difficult endeavor and borderline, which with a tweak of the facts could have resulted in a different conclusion. Back in April 2007, Kevin Mousey, a Bloomfield City councilman, proposed that the council allow citizens to erect such a monument, and the council unanimously agreed. In July of the year, the council adopted a policy governing the placement of such monuments on the City Hall's front lawn that generated a petition signed by 47 of the 8,000 inhabitants. 47 rule 8,000 in communist New Mexico, complaining that it violated the so-called separation of church and state mandated by the First Amendment, to wit, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. That is not the same thing. The free exercise is putting that monument up there. So let's go to another tune. Let's go to another tune to cheer you up. We did a little religious. Let me see. You want to do French Arabic? Well, you're not in the mood for anything Arabic tonight when you see them cut up a little baby in half, huh? You saw them trying to get into the helicopter? Did you see that one? Okay, we'll give you a tune. Ah, oh, that's a big one. That's a long one. Okay, I got one we'll do. It's called Cuban Fantasy. You know what Cuban Fantasy is? A Cuban Fantasy? It's a banana.
Thank you.
you imagine for... Can you imagine 47 people intimidating 8,000 and getting their way over the huge majority? I call those people the meddlesomes. They meddle in everything. They get in your face. They get in your way. They get on condo boards. They make trouble for everybody. They have nothing better to do. They wasted their lives, and now they're going to waste yours. I call them the meddlesomes.
Welcome to the Meddlesome Show with Daryl and Star Meddlesome.
Hi, I'm Star.
We're welcoming you today because this is our brand new show, and we're just opening it up, and we've just moved into a brand new neighborhood. And let us kick off our show, and then we'll tell you the issues of the day.
'Cause you've got personality, walk with personality, talk with personality, smile with personality, charm with personality, love with personality, and plus you got a great big heart. So over and over. Well, I'll be a fool for you.
Wasn't that a tremendous opening? We the Meddlesomes have now moved into Meddlesome, New York. A little bedroom community for people 25 and older. And it's really wonderful. We had to leave our other community because we were getting a lot of death threats. But now that we're here, we're starting afresh. And we want to just get involved with this community like we got involved in the other one. And right now, Star, honey, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm reading the association bylaws.
And what do they say?
Well, they say that the next door neighbor, his American flag is 1 centimeter over the required height.
So we'll bring that up at the next meeting, won't we, Star?
Oh, it can't wait. We love to be part of the community. We love to mingle. We're the Meddlesomes.
Who's at the door, dear?
It looks like one of those veterans from the foreign wars, you know, the ones that sell the poppies.
Well, see what he wants.
Yes, sir. Can I help you?
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to know if you care to donate to the veterans of foreign wars.
He wants a donation, Daryl.
Well, what kind of donation does he want, dear?
How much do you want?
Well, anything you care to give, ma'am.
He says anything we care to give. Well, give him 15 cents and ask him to sign our petition to have all the crosses removed from the cemeteries.
Would you say hello? Hello? Daryl, do you remember last week when that man was walking his dog in front of our house and he didn't have a pooper scooper and we turned him in and we read Clause 23 of the town ordinance and they put his dog to death?
Yes, dear.
Well, he's back. He's on our front lawn with a goddamn elephant.
Call a sheriff, dear. Call a sheriff. He must be a Republican. He's one of those terrorists. He's probably a veteran. He's one of those terrorists that Janet Napolitano warned us about.
This is Daryl here, and I hope you're enjoying our show. We put it all together just for you. We're the Meddlesomes. It's Daryl and Star Meddlesome.
Hi, I'm Star.
And we're now going to get dressed, and we're going to go to Town Hall, and we're going to get the Ten Commandments removed from the building. So let's give you our theme, because we're the Meddlesomes.
'Cause you've got personality, walk with personality, talk with personality, smile with personality.
this is Star Meddlesome. Daryl and I are going out today. We were supposed to leave early this morning and get the petition signed to legalize marijuana, but this little girl opened up a lemonade stand across the street and we had to wait for the Food and Drug Administration to take her away. You'd think they would be quicker when we call. Yes, they took her away because she's only about 5 years old and this is a 25 and older community. So they put her outside the gate because we're a gated community. And we don't want anybody inside our gate that doesn't belong here. So Daryl and I are going out now. Oh, they fined that little girl $85,000. That'll straighten them out. Can't have people getting out of hand. They have to obey the law. And there's not enough laws in this country. I want a law with every congressman's name on it. Well, Daryl and I are going out now. We're gonna do some community service. We're going to get our petition signed today to legalize marijuana. Yes. And Daryl and I, we're from the hippie generation. We were free lovers and free thinkers. And we used to do a lot of weed, as they called it back then. And but now we're too old to do that, so I just take the Marinol. And Daryl, he takes marijuana in suppository form. You ought to see him inhale. You would think his lungs were in his ass. Oh, right next to his brains. Well, we're going to go out. Everybody loves to legalize marijuana. If we're successful in passing marijuana legislation, then there won't have to be any drug-free zones in front of the schools anymore. The kids can do the drugs right in the classroom. Yes, and I also, Daryl and I are working on a book, How to Raise Children According to the State. I'm going to break for a little theme song now, and then we'll discuss what's going on in this country and how we can get involved.
'Cause you've got personality, walk with personality, talk with personality.
Did you like that? I gotta link that and send it to Mark Levin. Give him a chuckle. There was a headline today that some fool came out and said there should be no Second Amendment rights and the right to bear arms, and got everybody upset. And I said, bunch of crap. We have the right to match the enemy or the foreign government we have with equal of firepower. My brother is bringing over our Abrams tank for waxing today. We also armor all the rollers. My next door neighbor has an F-16 he keeps in a 40-foot trailer. Another neighbor has an 81-millimeter mortar he keeps in a safe so the kids don't get it. We keep our ammo on a military base and access it from our tunnel. Hey, Eric Gunholder, the Arab word for joke is nukta. We're only nukting. Here is a thought for today. A poll taken at 29 Palms asked Marines, would they fire on Americans if they were ordered to do so? 29% of the guys at 29 Palms said yes. Fast forward to northern Iraq, four divisions of Sunni and Shia. ISIS attacks. ISIS is Shia. The Sunnis walked away, ran away, skipped away from their equipment, and the Shias checked out. Now picture Obama ordering his purged American army to fire on Tea Party people. What is going to happen? Think about that scenario. And would your conclusion be right or would it be wrong? What do you think? Okay, let's see. Here's James O'Keefe. This guy is a one-man band. He's the guy that caught the Acorn. I think it was Acorn giving out free abortion advice. How hookers, underage hookers, could get abortions. He's a one-man band. I just returned from the border with a shocking new video. Video that will outrage you. Frankly, the footage should scare you. I dressed up like Osama bin Laden and crossed the Rio Grande River from Mexico to the United States. I did it in broad daylight at a well-traveled crossing just 6 miles from Interstate 10. And he's got the video, and he's on the U.S. side, and it looks like he walked through a puddle from the Mexican side, a high puddle. But you know what? I don't know. President Obama's immigration policies have left large sections of the border completely unprotected, lacking a fence, cameras, and a border patrol presence. Citizens in rural counties like Hudspeth, Texas, with a population of just 3,500, lay awake at fear at night. Oh, man, he is. He's dressed like Osama bin Laden. You see, it's not children who cross the border in rural America. It's criminals, gangs, and possibly even terrorists. I crossed the border dressed as Osama bin Laden in broad daylight. Tom, this is the type of video that the government doesn't want you to see. Oh, you can't trust the government and you can't trust the media. If you're still reading media crap, you're crazy. You might as well just go down to the Russian-American Relations Committee and ask them what the instructions are for the day. They're going to do everything to keep it from wider release, but I believe that the American people deserve the truth about how unprotected our border is. Okay, now he's looking for money. To complete this investigation, they spent $74,000. Travel expenses, investigator salaries, we're now behind in funding, so he's easy enough to wipe out. George Soros can wipe him out of farting petty cash. The name of the organization is Project Veritas, V-E-R-I-T-A-S. V-E-R-I-T-A-S. The guy's name is James O'Keefe, and he could use a donation. And you don't have to send much. I never send more than $10 to anybody, but I spread the tens around. And at least they know I'm rooting for them. Okay. Let's see what else we got in the mail. Oh, I ordered a tea kettle. It's confirmed. You know, I got tea bags with Democrat senators on them. I call it Dunkashame. If I had some money, I would definitely send out a box of tea bags with all of the guys that voted to burn the flag as dunkers. Dunkashame. Help stop the Common Core indoctrination of our children. My friends, you can't let the communists steal your child's soul. The kids are going to school. They're not getting any soul education. You got it. You cannot let them do it. It is important to note that the College Board is not run by the government entity. However, it has tremendous power over school curriculum because students want to take as many advanced placement tests as possible in order to gain a college credit. The nonprofit organization is also run by David Coleman. Oh, man, I got to tell you something. I said it about a year and a half ago. Anti-Semitism is going to grow in this country, and it is growing. You just got to look at the demonstrations in the colleges. The Muslims are running the colleges and the communists. One of the architects behind the Common Core movement. The brightest students high school take these AP tests. An estimated 450,000 students will take the AP U.S. History exam this coming year. And I was shocked to learn about the changes made to high school history curriculum this year. The entire U.S. history curriculum has taken a dramatic leftist turn. Brainwashing is rampant in this country. James Madison, the author of the Constitution, Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Franklin, Alexis de Tocqueville, Abraham Lincoln, and countless other founders and historical figures have been removed from the curriculum. If I had the money, I would pay for every kid in America to get a religious education. And I'm not talking about the Muslim religion. I want them to learn love, not murder. Instead of teaching students about these forward-thinking individuals, the curriculum will instead focus on America's shortcomings. Guilt, guilt, guilt. Teach the children not to be strong, brave, and American, but teach them to be guilt-ridden losers. These are the men who gave the world modern were the only ones that successfully had a revolution. Everybody else failed. Instead of focusing on how Jefferson authored the Declaration of Independence, you can expect the high school students to focus on how Jefferson allegedly fathered children with his slaves. Yes, that was Charles Barron in New York made that comment that Jefferson liked chocolate. There's nothing wrong with chocolate. I love Millamars when they come out. I put them right in the refrigerator. I keep them chilled. Delicious, succulent. Yeah, nothing wrong with chocolate. Everybody loves chocolate. Now, this is the takedown of America, and we've already lost the battle. This is 60 years of brainwashing. Chipping away. These are the chippers of freedom. Every day they get up and they take their little chisels, the chiselers, and they chip away at the yoke of freedom. And they've infected the entire country, and they're using your tax dollars to destroy you and your children. And they don't have any because they're abortionists. That's the party symbol, a dead kid in a bucket. You want to fight fire with fire, or you want to play Waltzing Matilda? And that's what we're doing. We're playing Waltzing Matilda. So, having said that, we'll give you a tune. We'll give you a tune about when there was no divorce in this country. Yes, no divorce. You had to go to Mexico to get a divorce. That's because people took an oath in church in front of God and said, I will love, honor, and honor. Says Obama is the worst president since World War II. 33% of respondents are naming our current chief as the worst post-war president. A bit of news that can't come as a welcome message. He don't care, man. He don't care. His job is to destroy it all. Bring it all down. Mission accomplished. What else? What else was I going to tell you? In and out. In and out of my mind. We're in trouble. We've lost our country, and we haven't learned yet that we've lost it, so it's hard to fight to take it back. But I got to tell you, if you're going to play a Republican fighting a communist, you're going to lose if you think you're fighting a Democrat. They will swallow you up and spit you out. Anglican vicar says child I baptized was cut in half by ISIS. We'll read that one. I know those people up there on Mount. Oh, I can't remember the name of it. It's two American words. Starts with an S. I'm almost in tears because I just had somebody in my room whose little child was cut in half. I baptized his child in my church in Baghdad. This little boy, they named him after me. He was called Andrew. And he's the vicar of the Anglican Church in Baghdad, Canon Andrew White. Every day things in Iraq grow worse. Every day our planet grows ever darker because of the heinous crimes that we have all become witness to. The persecution, torture, rape, and murder of innocents who have become commonplace has become commonplace in our world. And we seem to have become desensitized to it all. 900,000 Rwandans can attest to that. Each evening, our media covers the day's highlights, the lowlights, in typical fashion, and each evening we brush it off, oblivious to the pain around us. Okay, the town of Karagosh is a Christian village, so they knew everybody there was part of their target group. They, the Islamic State, attacked the whole of the town. They bombed it. They shot at people. I'm almost in tears. I have just had somebody in my room, and he tells about the little boy, Andrew. It is really sad. What kind of comments we got? I think Christians are going to have to be the government of God. I said to my wife tonight, I said, suppose this Pope stands up and calls for a crusade. She goes, can't happen. He'll never do that. You never know, man. It could get real bad. I think Christians are going to have to be the government of God. This world system government is satanic, and it's, as is Obama, the CIA, the Pentagon, who trained, funded, armed ISIS and sent them to kill our brothers and sisters. That is what they want to do to us here. We better not wait for these devils to do right. They are the ones responsible for this genocide. We better rise up to be who God made us to be and do it ourselves. If I had a plane, I'd be sending it. And he's got a picture of St. Michael the Archangel. This war started 2,000 years ago, and it has not stopped. If you would like to take the time and read how Hitler weaseled his way into power, is identical to what is happening with ISIS. Yes, it correlates so closely, but when you try to explain it to anyone under, say, 40-ish, they don't get it. I don't think they even know anything about Hitler, except maybe his name. Though my biggest complaint about Hitler is that he died in 1945, but communism lives on. And that's why all the college students wear Mao hats and Che Guevara t-shirts. And we were talking about what your communist core, where they're going to teach you to hate the founders of the United States. A friend of mine was a personal witness to the swearing-in ceremony of new immigrants in New York. You know, they became American citizens the hard way. And the rat who was representing the government agency that was swearing them in opened up with a speech that they were going to be discriminated against because of their color. And that if they were ever discriminated against for any reason, and he publicly gave out his phone number that they could reach him and he would help them. So here these people are. They waited all this time to become American citizens, and a communist rat in the United States government stands up and tells them they're not welcome here because the white man hates you. And those people left at that building. When they went out into the street, they were looking to find out if that was true. Everyone is too busy with reality TV and on their cell phones. No time for the real world. I don't know what's going to take for people to wake up. They're not going to wake up. They're taking their shoes off at the airport, and they complain a little. They won't, at least not until the web goes dark long enough to wean them off social media sites. And that may cause rioting. Every day when I'm out, I see more people walking with their heads facing their own feet with some device in their hand. How about driving? Despicable people, we're arming them in the belief that we can help them overthrow Bashar al-Assad. Don't believe me. Remember the photos of John McCain talking with rebels in Syria? There you go. That was us, and now the Middle East is paying for our stupidity and ignorance. The two greatest weaknesses of the United States, going back to December the 7th, 1941 and before. Intelligence and the ability to negotiate. A guy's calling McCain a Satanist. I'm sad to say that when it comes to the wholesale persecution of Christians, there's no such thing as a safe place. Open your eyes, folks. It's already starting here in America. No, it hasn't reached the point of killing Christians here yet. Abortion does. Abortion kills Christians. But it is on its way. There are some cities already incorporating Sharia law, and when Christians are forced by our courts to bow down to the demands of the gays and the lesbians, Christians are forced to watch their children's minds and souls destroyed in our public schools. I say privatize the schools. Privatize the VA. Close the EPA. Close the IRS. Any tool of oppression has to be disbanded. And that's, they're using the tax money of religious people to destroy religion. That's the sad part. Revolution, it has started here. On Saturday, August the 9th, a rabbi was murdered in Florida while walking to his synagogue. It has started, and don't rely on MSM, mainstream media. Yeah, isn't it funny? The mainstream media wants to destroy a mainstream American. These ISIS people, and I use the term like a sub-animal and should be shot on sight. I have a better recommendation. The neutron bomb. Vaporize them. Not a trace is left. And we're all dreaming about a pork-filled hollow point bullets. No. Neutron bomb. And we can do the scene from Goodfellas. Where is he? Oh, he's gone. What do you mean he's gone? He's gone. He's gone, and there's nothing we can do about it. Well, first we need something other than an empty suit. Obama had a lot of help taking his country down. He didn't do it by himself. It is really sad. Okay, let me come out of there. will take a look for any other bright and cheerful male. Communists take food discount away from Hallelujah people. Restaurant forced to not give discount. That's a restaurant was giving a 15% a discount to people who said grace before meals. And they took pressure from those 47 communists that rule 8,000 in another small town. And they had to take away the 15% discount under the threat of ACLU lawsuits, because ACLU has money. They're paid by the government to destroy the used-to-be American government. And so I made a little comment. I said, I guess you can't get hot cross buns either. Atheists make the best communists. Communists make the best Democrats. Until we stop using words like progressive, atheist, liberal, left-winger, ACLU lawyers, and substitute communist, we are all on the ropes. Never forget, right-wing is mainstream American. And then I closed with one breakfast under God, lunch with Blessed Tim Tebow. There's a guy they would love to destroy. They would love to have photos of him in compromising positions because religion is under fire and the people with soul must be destroyed. Beware of moments of silence. That is a communist muzzle. God wants to hear you shout with joy, Hallelujah, that hamburger. I'm going to dedicate this next tune to the Ukrainian people who are struggling to save their country. I try to find one for the Chaldeans too. Okay, we're back. And the topic is from FixThisNation.com. Army cuts more than 500 majors in response to budget reduction. It's always disheartening to see the U.S. make cuts to the defense budget from its constitutional beginnings. One of the government's most important reasons for existing is to provide for the national defense. They're not doing it. They're not doing it. We're into World War III, 13 years, and everybody's taking their shoes off at the airport. We are totally vulnerable. Our two greatest weaknesses, again, I will say, intelligence and the ability to negotiate. John Kerry couldn't negotiate a mayonnaise on a tuna fish sandwich. In true traditional terms, protecting the American people from enemies foreign and domestic is one of the only reasons for the government to exist. Smaller government, 80% reduction in government, 80% reduction in taxes, especially real estate taxes. Yet we see the military taking extraordinary budget cuts under the Obama administration, even as our enemies around the world multiply and grow stronger and unite. Working towards those budget cuts, the Army this week announced they would be cutting roughly 550 majors from their ranks by next spring. And you heard the eye-opening letter from a major who got whacked on trumped-up charges. Vice Chief of the Army General John Campbell told reporters Friday that communicating this message to troops in the middle of a war zone was no easy task. Well, at least when they get laid off, they can always go to an on-base hotel and read the Bible. Oh, no, they took the Bible away, too, huh? These are soldiers, after all, who have sacrificed a great deal to be part of the country's war efforts, and now they're being told they're out of a job. The primary story, though, isn't one of a humanitarian nature, but one of national defense. It's natural that the military makes some cuts in the aftermath of its budgetary explosion of the last decade. But many wonder if the reductions aren't going overboard, if Congress isn't able to put a stop to automatic cuts in the next few years. It is feasible that we could see the Army's numbers dwindle to a little over 400,000 total troops. Think about this. You're a young guy. You want to get started in life. What better way to get started than serving your country? So you're thinking of going into the military. You're going to go into the Army or the Marines. You want to be a warrior. And then you read about this guy rotting in Fort Leavenworth, who under orders from his commanding officer in a sniper stakeout was ordered to shoot a guy in the head that his commanding officer was holding down. And as he was holding him down, he ordered Vela, that's the guy's name, I think he was a sergeant, Sergeant Baylor, to shoot the guy in the head, and Sergeant Baylor did. And then the three of them were charged by the Communist Party with premeditated murder, and two went to the USA to be tried, and Baylor, Sergeant Baylor, was kept at a Iraqi court and tried, I think by Americans, in an Iraqi court in Iraq. The two that went to the States were automatically found not guilty. Vela got 15 years. Now he's got a wife with two little kids. They live in Alaska. So she's got to say goodbye to all her loved ones and family, sells her house, and now she takes her kids, and they sit outside Fort Leavenworth prison, and for the next 15 years, they're going to wave to daddy through the bars. Okay, so I was thinking of joining. I read this story, and I said, no effing way I'm going to that hellhole, man. They're waiting to put me in jail. And you know what the saying in the Army is, if you ever served, every day you break the law. It's just when they want to get you. It's just a case of when they want to get you. And you see what they did to that major. 8 years ago, he was convicted of DWI, and they're getting him now? Gee, has the IRS got his name too? The primary story isn't one of humanitarian nature, but one of national defense. So we could dwindle down to 400,000 total troops. They call that a platoon in the Chinese Communist Army. At this size, the army may not be able to wage even a single major campaign over a prolonged period of time. Well, you know, they're going to shorten that because gunpowder is going to be obsolete very soon once the Iranians get nukes and they do an all-out attack on Israel and Israel retaliates. And Israel's got 200 nukes that we know about. So, well, you know, you can't bomb those places in Iran where they're building the nukes. They're too far underground. You don't have to get all the way down. All you got to do is coat the area with radioactivity. That'll take 100 years to clean up. Nobody goes in. Everybody that's in stays in. The problem with the current budget cuts is that they aren't based on a clear, logical assessment. We should do everything we can to shrink the government down to size, but the military is the last place we should look when it comes to making cuts. It's easy to get complacent when war is in the background. It's not in the background. It's happening overseas, waiting to come here. If we've learned anything from history, though, it's that new threats can pop up in an instant. We need troops to be prepared and ready for when that day comes. And in the words of the greatest founder of any country that ever existed, George Washington, the man who refused to be king and said, one term of office is more than enough. And go home, everybody, and cut your harvest. And do not make Washington a full-time job. He also said, I don't know if he said, do not make Washington a full-time job, but he did say this, in times of peace, prepare for war. So here are some answers. Reduce our military budget, give money for toilets to Kenya, spend $100 million on vacation to Kenya. I told people at a meeting of the elders the other night that Obama took a complete aircraft carrier task force out of action to go on safari with him. 5,000 to 6,000 sailors, 200 to 400 planes and pilots, submarine. What do you think, huh? Laugh at taxpayers while planning FEMA camps for everyone. How does he get the energy to play golf after all this hard work? Pat Anja says, giving raises and bonuses to government employees who watch porn six hours a day on the clock while he destroys our military. News for Obama. They may not be on the payroll, but they are still patriotic American military, and they will protect us from you and your criminal forces. You will never be king of America. Good point. You're going to like this one. This is from Larry. How many of those mages are females and blacks? Probably none of them. The first guy whacked was black. You know, we got some Americans that are black. They all didn't vote for Obama. Ben Carson didn't vote for Obama. And this guy says it's time to cut out federal jobs. We are paying big bucks for federal employees. Another guy is talking about watching porn. Michael, this is part of Obama's concentrated efforts to be able to support his Muslim brother factions. He has dedicated things to them, such as having all blacks under control, all the Latin movements in control, and all financial matters in hand. Everybody says that the blacks and the Latinos will always vote side by side. I don't believe that. Latinos take hold of opportunity. You get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you go into the ghetto. You see all the Mexicans sitting on stoops that the ghetto people are still in bed. and white construction workers are pulling up with big trucks. I'll take 6, I'll take 8, I'll take 22. And they're all working, man. They're all working. And the guy that cuts your grass today, tomorrow will show up with his crew that all speak Spanish. And they're working for him now, and he will cut your grass. And you will pay him. And the same guy that's cutting the grass and has a crew will start to give you price quotes on building a house for you. And they are going to move up the ladder. And the ones who lay at the bottom of the democratic ladder with the 3 broken rungs so you can't get a leg up will always be bitching, jiving, and shucking. And that's the truth. Laziness is not rewarded only by the government. But when the government is shrunk by 80%, everybody going to have a job. They are being ousted, but I bet there is a strong correlation between their field officers' assessment if they were willing to follow illegal commands issued by the CIC, the POTUS, or Commander-in-Chief, or commands from foreign officers to kill a USA citizen to quell a riot or insurgency to protect the U.S. Constitution. Do your research. You got to watch who he's whacking. These guys are all combat officers, and the whackers are all no experience. We got a problem. After 23 years in the Army and a student of history, you will find that the first steps in taking over a country is to kill and decimate the military. Typical communist tactic. Obama and his minions are all communist trained. They take their orders from Vladimir the Impaler Putin, Rasputin, the mad monk. Maliki got rid of all the generals and senior officers when he was elected president and replaced them with his own people from the Muslim Brotherhood. You see how well that is working out in Iraq. Iraq is the saddest story in American, in world history. You had a dictator who was a complete fool and idiot and a murderer and an exterminator who had the keys to the bank, 13 palaces. Everybody shivered when he came by. He had his thumb on the entire country. 200 automobiles, his own bank, $1 million in petty cash in his pocket, all kinds of money pouring in. And he went and said, I got nukes. And then George Bush had to send in inspectors he could trust. So he sent in 60,000 American troops, 100,000 American troops. And this is the real shocker. The real shocker. He was under a lot of pressure from the communists here, so he didn't go in hammer and tong. He went in hammer only. But the day that the first American tank came out of that desert storm, and it was a storm they went through, and made a right turn into Saddam's palace, vacated already, that day, George Bush and his troops and his fleet had Iran completely surrounded. Every country that borders Iran was a base that could of operations for America and its planes. And George Bush, when that tank went into Baghdad, was a half hour away from Ahmadinejad's house and the Iranian parliament. And they were pooping in their dish dashes. And that was the day that George could have made a deal. Look, you don't need nukes. You don't want me to come there and take everything, do you? He could have done it. Look at Reagan. He never had Star Wars. He didn't have anything in the sky. He told the Russians, we got Star Wars. You seen the movie, you better wake up. Okay, take the wall down. Yep. Greatest poker player of the, 21st century? Ronald Reagan? What a bluffer. And the communists hated him. They made fun of him because he made a movie with a monkey in it. Remember that? They used to say, when he's president, his idea of defense is to put the wagons in a circle. That's all the snobs, the Grey Poupon communists. Not people of the people. Put down artists. Now, let's see. Now we have Obama, who has already fired over 100 experienced generals and colonels. America doesn't know it's being taken down. It's watching what the day of the week underwear Kim Kardashian is wearing. Now, 550 majors are slated to be fired. Obama has no military experience. I don't think he has any experience in anything. He lives in a world of delusion and ignorance. He is incapable of any sort of leadership except being a Girl Scout leader. Don't insult the Girl Scouts, man, especially today. They're very manly. That is about his level of leadership. If this was England, his party would have been out of power in the first 2 years when the people learned how insignificant and ignorant a leader he really is. Obama won't fight Muslims because he is one, and so is the head of the CIA. An Irishman who converted to Islam 10 years ago. Help us take back the Senate and put this clueless child back in his crib where he can cry and pee himself when confronted with a problem. The worst thing. You've watched our warriors, greatest of the best of the best. You've watched the average American GI on the battlefield die trying to bring a buddy back from the battlefield, carrying the wounded under fire. You've heard the slogan, "We never leave anybody behind." Hello, President Obama. Listen, we're on the rooftop. We laser painted the mortar platoon. It's setting up. The first 150 that came over the wall, they've pulled back. This is a good time to send that gunship in and get us out of here. Hello? 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 I know you're there, you bastard. Those guys would have called in a broken arrow if they thought Obama was going to leave him to die, where he can cry and pee himself. Don't worry, Valerie Jarrett will clean your butt and put a diaper on him before she tells him what to say. I mean, lie to the American people again. Okay. I'm not reading from the Libertarian Soldier. Sorry. I don't swallow libertarians. Here's one, Omega 2. How about cutting 500 of those congressional maggots out of the government? I do a bit where I introduce myself as the other president of the United States, and I play Ruffles and Flourishes, the ladies and gentlemen, the other president of the United States, and that my opening bit is, my fellow Americans, it is today with a heavy heart that I announced the cutbacks to save the country from going broke. So as of this morning, I've laid off the House and the Senate, and everybody is getting pink slips, and some of them are getting bras. Yeah, man, I tell you, you give me one day. You know that you used to have that show, King for a Day? You make me president for a day. You'll have money in your pocket by 5 o'clock at night. You'll have your money back in your pocket. What do you do? Oh, well, I'm in charge of, I go around to the few remaining factories that are left, and I hit them with big fines like $700,000 a day, and I put them out of business, and I send them to our allies in China. Oh, you do, huh? Okay. Which factory are you closing tomorrow? Oh, we thought we'd close one of the big auto companies. Oh, that's good. You know what? As soon as they start loading the equipment on the boat, you're in charge. You get on the other side in China and you help unload it. And stay there. They are wasting our tax dollars and do nothing for this country worthwhile to improve it better than it was yesterday. Bozo is definitely out to destroy our way of life and safety against foreign enemies, turning this country into a pigsty of the 7th century and back to riding camels. Wake up, America, and demand the removal of this illegal Kenyan. You know what's going to be said? If it becomes proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is not an American citizen, but an illegal alien, a lot of heads got a roll because a lot of people knew about it. And if you knew about it, you betrayed your country, and you should face a firing squad. And speaking of firing squads, enough with this chemical death and gas killing convicted criminals by gas and chemicals. Shoot them. It's over in a minute. And if he's still twitching, you give him the coup de grace. And that's it. It's over. 2 minutes he suffers. If he even suffers 2 minutes, the only thing Obama is doing is leading us wide open for an attack, something like Pearl Harbor. You want to hear something scary? I only seen it. You know the news that goes underneath and it's gone forever? You know, they break it with a commercial. Like China invades Texas, and then you'll see, oh, China invades. Oh, they went to a commercial. Yeah. I thought I saw somewhere, read somewhere, saw somewhere, that 2 to 3 years ago in Norfolk, Virginia, 7 aircraft carriers were tied up at Christmas time. If that's true, everybody should be court-martialed. That should be a Pearl Harbor court-martial. Oh, bullcrap is cutting down our military, starts another war in Iraq, and goes on vacation. What a bucket of maggot urine. He is starting a war with ISIS because it's a terrorist group he can't control like he does the other ones. Why is this country allowing this Muslim terrorist to destroy our country? Don't tell me no one else sees what he's doing. If I can, everybody else can as well. I'm sick and tired of watching our officials sitting back and doing nothing. And speaking of sitting back and doing nothing, John Boehner's lawsuit against the president is a ruse to prevent the impeachment of this president, because the lawsuit he will lose. John Boehner will lose, and he knows he's going to lose it, and then he's going to be able to say, look, we couldn't even win the lawsuit. We can't impeach this guy. I got a picture of Boehner and President Obama, man. They're laughing at a joke, and I hope the joke isn't us, man. He's not the president, as he was never allowed to run for that office. He's an African for JC's sake. Remove that maggot immediately before the Muslims, Mexicans, and the terrorists move into our country and take over. It won't be long. They're already here. All you congressmen, women, and our military needs to get together and rid our country of these cockroaches now. And everybody's basically on the same page. Obama is not only destroying the army, he's destroying the country. And one day, he will Benghazi, special forces, SEALs, he'll Benghazi those units. I would not want to be an officer in this army under this Muslim pig. He has no use for the military because he has been building his own army of stormtroopers to take down the American people, should we ever decide to move against his ass. An ongoing weakening of our military while more and more Muslims are training on our military bases via the UN. Then there is what he called his homeland security, maybe because the head of the Homeland Security Council is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. That's from Maryland. First he fires the generals, now the majors. What's next, the sergeants? Don't tell him that the sergeants are the backbone of the army. He doesn't know that yet. One question I have is how many general officers will be fired? Obviously, with the lower ranks being cut, they won't need as many generals. Also, I have to wonder, particularly for the officers in a war zone, why they just don't walk away and stop risking their lives for a country and a military that thinks so little of them. I also have to wonder what the military will do when they finally have to confront ISIS in Iraq and they don't have enough of the military left to get the job done. Confronting ISIS will happen, but will we be ready? For the first time ever, we will not be able to confront the bullies of the world, and that means they will end up here in this country. The World Trade Center should be a good reminder of what happens when they come. The greatest defeat in American history was the fall of the Clinton Towers, and 3,500 people were murdered by deeply religious Muslims who went straight to paradise after accomplishing their mission. And never forget that. Those were not extremists. The highest calling is to be a shahadi in jihad. And they are automatically saints in their religion. I would really have a lot of confidence after having two oceans protecting us. I wouldn't really have a lot of confidence. Some countries are more than well-equipped to launch attacks right over the top to them. Not to worry. Obama is closing down plenty of our silos. This is the one that we're not catching the word on. He's firing the officers that man them and replacing officers that will obey his illegal commands. Remember when it was said that returning troops were potential terrorists? I guess this also pertains to officers that are fired for no reason at all at this time. But then again, we must thank Obama and his libs and Muslim pals. I was pretty worried about when the top blows off the country, when the last straw is executed on the American people. Americans by themselves are just an armed mob. Mobs have too many leaders with no experience, but thanks to Obama following all these trained military leaders, we are looking a lot better. We will come out as top dogs, but with experienced leaders. It will be sooner and with less casualties. At the meeting of the elders the other night over Frankfurters, I asked the question, is it time for a president that used to be a general, like we had Eisenhower, U.S. Grant, George Washington? I don't know if Teddy Roosevelt was a general, but he was up there. Is it time? And everybody said, oh, no, no. One guy said, you know what? The next war is going to be fast, furious, and nuclear. It may be to our advantage to have a general. That's why I like McChrystal. And they said, well, what do you know? Nobody knew anything about McChrystal. I said, I like McChrystal. I think he's a liberal. I don't know why he didn't go on Fox to promote his book, because if you want to sell books, you got to go on Fox. Everybody that goes on Fox gets a book deal. And McChrystal didn't go there. I think he went on the John the Monkey Show, John Stewart. So he could be a sort of a liberal, but he's a general first. And I'll take my chances with McChrystal over Obama, Bin Laden, Bin Lenin, Maliki. What else is there? This has got to be stopped. He's leaving us defenseless. Get rid of Congress and the Senate. Just turn them over, man. You got a bad crop, get rid of the crap. Turn them over. One term per termite. That's all you need. You really want to put money in your pocket and save your country? $1 champagne contribution, whether you're GE or Joe the plumber. You get caught giving $2 to any politician, you go to jail. Here's a thought. Why don't we cut the president's pay and expenses? It wouldn't matter. The graft, he's got more graft. This is like a petty cash to him. Dear Jet Magnet, I served 26 years in the Navy. Obama has screwed up military pay, military benefits for me and my family, and now he's screwing with my retirement medical. Okay. Now, there was talk he was going to close the He's out to get anybody that's halfway decent. Don't come into the military because you're not going to like it. I'm ruling it. And he's getting rid of anybody that's in there. He's driving them out. There was talk he was going to close the commissaries, which saves the average military family probably 20 to 30% on all their goods. And he was going to close them and force them to go out in the street and buy their what they used to buy in the commissary. But that wasn't the worst part. You know what the worst part is? You know who works in the commissary? GIs' wives who are fighting overseas. They're the ones who work the commissaries. So it was like a double dagger. Okay, so we did that pretty much. I could go on and on. Everybody's here. But we're in trouble. We're losing our country, and we're never getting it back. And it looks like I ran out of time, so I'm going to close with Les Paul and Mary Ford. You know who Les Paul is? Everybody that owns a guitar knows who Les Paul is. And one of the tunes they made as a singing couple was Vaya Bambios.
Now the hacienda is dark, the town is sleeping. Now the time has come to part, the time for weeping. Vaya con Dios, my darling. Vaya con Dios, my love. Now the village mission bells are softly ringing. If you listen with your heart, you'll hear them singing. Vaya con Dios, my darling. Vaya con Dios, my love. Wherever you may be, I'll be beside you. Although your many million dreams away, each night I'll say a prayer to guide you, to hasten every lonely hour of every lonely day. Now the dawn is breaking through a great tomorrow, but the memories we share are there to borrow. Vaya con Dios, my darling. Vaya con Dios, my darling.
Just a little food for thought. We are going down to a skeleton crew of freedom. Less than 1% of the people in this country defend it. They're the only ones that know that we're 13 years into World War III. If a strong enemy is successful enough in destroying cities, you will see a draft come back, the size of which you never saw in your lifetime. And I'm thinking 10 million, but it might be more like 20 million because there'll be a lot of expendables due to nuclear radiation. And it's going to be a tough road, and it's going to be a big surprise for a lot of broken-hearted families. So So before that happens, remember what George said. In times of peace, prepare for war. Have a nice night, folks.